Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? Welcome to the Bloody Knuckles Show. We are presented by 319 Wine and Cheese, the best, the greatest, the latest in your wine and cheese and other great stuff in Tallahassee, Florida, City of Champions. Also, American fighter, you know, in America, have gone over it many, many a times. Enough of this Muay Thai, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu bullshit as I sit here smoking an American cigar in my American room. Let's be proud of America. I'm tired of seeing Irish people travel over here to watch their fighters, and Americans don't travel anywhere else to watch their fighters. Where is the goddamn American pride? American Fighter, forget the t-shirt company. I'm talking American Fighter, started by the BK Show. And you can catch me on Twitter, BK Show 1. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot of MMA to talk about, including a card this weekend with potential 205 title implications. I can't believe I'm saying that with Ryan Bader in the main event, but we got that to talk about. Also, a card that was canceled because one fighter had an itchy back and the other fighter had an outbreak of herpes and a bunch of other stuff. And of course, you know, we'll talk a little bit about the Super Bowl coming up, of course, an American sport. But on the line with me tonight, he is officially now called the Ghost because he has not been on the last few shows. Favorite man that is tardy all the time. No, wait, he's not tardy. He is not even showing up for class. He is the King of Rochester, the motherfucking man that created Percy Love. Still a legend in the 319 archives of people getting drunk and having fun. He is the motherfucker that says, let me slap your mama in the butt. Nate Diaz, middle fingers up. I don't give a fuck. Rochester, that's what's up. Mr. Paychecks himself. You want them checks? Hit up Andrew Meredith. He's running the show. What's up, homie?
Yo, 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 what it do? Very, very excited to be back on the show. I'm with the fans. I apologize for missing the last couple of shows. I will say this with my new job. You know, I have to get up every day at like 6:30, 6 a.m., and I'm usually asleep by like 10:45 nowadays. Becoming an old man, Ryan, it's kind of sad. And it is funny.
Yeah,
it's about
funny if these shows have been at like 5 o'clock a.m. and 6:45 a.m.
Word, I could have caught it on the ride to work.
Yeah, you could have caught it on the ride to work.
Right, and but I gotta, you? I'm sorry, go ahead. I was going to say something.
I got to say, tonight, you know, I plan on having my nightly workout. You know, I live that night owl life. But, you know, I took a little bit of my prescribed medication. Shout out to Klonopin because it is legal, ladies and gentlemen. I'm feeling nice, so I might go to get some sleep tonight, Andrew. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, Ryan, I'm going to sleep in tonight, my friend. Always having to get up at 6 in the morning. It's rough. I usually have a glass of my Kratom in the morning. It's an herbal plant. You know, I'm big into my herbs these days. It takes.
Hey, all them fighters out there with a little pain and a little game.
Yeah.
You want to feel good. Get that Kratom.
I'm not going to lie, Ryan. It tastes like I'm drinking some, like, swamp water, like, from one of those back lakes in Florida. But it is what it is. And it's funny how, you know, you called me, you know, Mr. Tardy, because in Andrew Meredith's fashion, only his third week on the job, I consistently showed up 15 to 20 minutes late to work every day this week because I'm a real G. Real
15 to 20, you know my reputation. I show up 2 hours late.
That is true. Whoa, save yourself. But one thing, Ryan, I do have to add in into the fans before we get into the talk. Be sure to look for it. For Ryan, is this correct me if I'm wrong, this could be the fourth year or the third or fourth year we will be contacting the War Man Wright, and we will have, of course, the Bloody Knuckle every year. We have our National Signing Day show for our recruiting nation. And Ryan, it is on Wednesday. One thing I got to say, it's great. You're a Knoll fan. We love it. Anytime we beat Bama, we just landed our 21st commit. Keith Gavin, one of the best wide receivers in the country, was committed to Florida State. Yes, from McCullough, right up the street. He has a stupid quarterback, Felipe Frank. Looks like a giant praying mantis is going to Florida. Screw him. But he decommitted from us. Alabama came really hard. Nick Saban himself kept showing up to McCullough trying to pull him.
Today was official. First year.
Oh, yeah. He's the man.
His first year.
He's the next
man, Kyle.
6'3", just 215.
Oh, I've seen the highlights every Friday, my friend. He is a man-child.
And good old Jimbo with his patented Ross blazer. Blazer, he got it, Ross. It's brown. It's ugly. I don't know how he pulls it off. It's too big. It doesn't even fit him. But it is a patented brown closing jacket. And Nick Saban lost to the man, the myth, the legend, Jimbo Fisher, Ryan. And I got to say, for Florida State fans, we have a very good shot at finishing with the number one overall class in the nation. Your Fighting Irish are going to have a great class as well. But we will touch up more on that next week, Ryan.
Yeah, and I got to say, I'm going to talk to the War Man about having a part two, updating the world on, because he has his own kickboxing show.
We need
for it. And we'll be doing, I'm going to talk to him about doing a update on the kickboxing world, two big Glory shows back-to-back, talk to him about how Glory has cut their relationship with Spike and how Spike might be starting their own MMA show, which is really big news because Spike wants to go in their own direction, Glory wants to go in their own direction, and just basically the kickboxing world in general, need to hit on that. But Andrew, tonight is an MMA show. Would you like to start with the UFC on Fox or the chaos that surrounded UFC 196, which is now Conor McGregor's fight, but was supposed to be a heavyweight clash of the new Fedor that never fights?
Ryan, this is disappointing. You know, UFC is typical fashion in MMA, just when things are looking great. It happens again. I remember you texted me it, and I felt like, you know, I just got a body shot from Scott Smith, a little throwback when he knocked out that guy. I felt like I caught that body shot, Ryan.
Good old Scott.
I couldn't believe it. Yet again, you know, Kane, the guy just can't stay healthy, and then Verdum. You know, he was probably
a bitch move.
He didn't want to rush it. You know, he did pull a dick move, Ryan. I wanted to ask you about this. What happens? Do they, with how weak the heavyweight division is, do they just reschedule the title shot for another time? Does you see someone else getting in there? What's going on? Are they going to have the fight at a later time? What did you think about Verdum as well, not wanting to fight Stipe? So all in all, let me get your analysis. Where does the heavyweight division stand? And what are they going to do, Ryan? Because it's pretty damn shallow, you know, looking at the depth of fighters. You feel like the UFC's are hands tied. So break it down for me. What's happening next? What's happening with the fighters? What is the next fight you think we'll see?
I got a lot here, so everyone buckle up a little bit. We're doomed. And this is a guy I thought was potentially the greatest heavyweight of all time. He might be able to bounce back with my respect, you know, if he comes back and, you know, keeps kicking ass like he was kicking ass. But to come out after Cain has dropped out, we all know Cain's body has just given up on him. I'll touch on that. But Cain, I think, was
brain. Just kind of gave up on him.
with his overbite cane. You know, he dropped out because of his overbite this time. But we're doomed, basically. You know, the fact is Kane, I have to say, with his weak body, he was probably really hurt. I'm going to give him that. You know, he dropped out of it. He has a 70-year-old's body, and I'll touch on that. But we're doomed to come out. I mean, at least be John Jones truthful and say that you don't want to touch Stipe Miocic. You are afraid to switch up opponents because Stipe, and all, you know, realistically, just looking at it now, has the stand-up ability to give Werdum trouble. You could pull a John Jones and say, all right, I don't want to take an opponent like this on 2 weeks' notice. Unlike Conor McGregor, a true fighting champion, who not only took a new fighter on 2 weeks' notice, but took on Chad Mendes, a guy who is the biggest threat to Conor McGregor's abilities with his wrestling ability. But no, Werdum, who... You don't want to get him with Doom's guard. So, of course, you know, Kane, his dangerous, you know, ability is taking people down and elbowing them in the face over and over. Of course, you know, that's a perfect style for Werdum to beat. But Stipe not only can take you down, but he also can stand up and go through a 5-round war. He was ready to go. But the worst thing Werdum did here was to say, I would have fought if Kane would have stayed in the fight, but my back's a little bit hurt. So I decided since Kane is not in the fight, I'm going to drop out too. How inconsiderate an asshole move, and a move to prove that you should not have that strap around your waist because you should be willing to defend that belt. Don't come out with some weak-ass fake injury excuse. Be truthful and say you don't want to fight because it's a new opponent. And you're scared you're going to lose your belt, and it's not going to do the numbers Kane would have done. Be truthful to the fans that paid all that money to go see you fight, and then you drop out for some weak-ass excuse. Think about the Brazilians who might have been traveling to Las Vegas. It is total bullshit, and it cost a lot of people money. So I got to say, that's some weak-ass shit. And they could have put, again, on the UFC, but all right. Let me move on from that. We're doing weak-ass shit right there. Going on to the, you know, heavyweight division in general, and what do they do next? I don't think the UFC should, you know, even contemplate putting Kane in a title fight at this time. The guy is just too, he's not reliable. You can't book him in a big-time fight because, you know, three out of his last, you know, out of four fights they booked, he's gotten hurt three times. He's only fought once, and he lost. He has a 25%
fighting chance.
he has a 25% fighting chance. I mean, that, right there. I like how you have the math, my friend. I wouldn't have been able to do it myself. But right there, it shows you he is unreliable.
Great
Kane
point.
Is gonna come. Yeah, I mean, let's look at it this way, Andrew. And I said this on a solo show, but Kane, not only did he come into the division and make everyone think he is going to be some kind of big star in Mexico and he's the new Fedor, but he ruined Junior Dos Santos for us. He gave Junior such bad ass whooping, it made Junior have a new face and have a scrambled brain and not be able to even say a sentence and not even be able to take an Overeem jab. Junior Dos Santos could have been a Mike Tyson of MMA if Cain Velasquez was never around. Daniel Cormier might have been one of the best heavyweights in the world if Kane wasn't his training partner. You know, and it's, to me, Kane right now has been worse for the UFC than he has been better. And if he's going to get a title shot, he needs to come back and prove to the UFC against the top contender that he can fight and that, you know, put him in a main event against the top guy and then let's see what happens. But the problem is that the UFC has been so concerned about promoting Conor McGregor and Ronda Rousey that their divisions, other than the lightweight division, which, you know, is still shallow, bantamweight shallow. I mean, look at bantamweight. why does, you know, most of the top guys fight outside of the UFC? Bibiano Fernandez, who's in ONE FC, is a top 10 fighter. I don't care about the bullshit rankings. Dantes in Bellator, Warren in Bellator. There's so many top fighters outside of the UFC. Ill Will, Michael Chandler at lightweight. I mean, look at lightweight. Alvarez is the number one fucking contender. Are you kidding me? He was just a Bellator champion.
Are you serious?
Yes, he is the number one contender. Khabib is never healthy. He's number two in the UFC rankings because Pettis and Donald Cerrone, who's now a welterweight, were pretty much the only guys. I mean, look at that division. Pettis. Gilbert Melendez is number five. It's the same guys over and over. The UFC is not bringing in new talent. Let's look at light heavyweight. All right, we have Ryan Bader right now fighting for a number one contendership. We have Anthony Rumble Johnson.
The guy who just fought for the title.
Yeah, Anthony Rumble Johnson, who, you know, other than one big punch, got dominated by Daniel Cormier. Then we have Gustafson, who's proven that over and over he can't get it done on the big stage. We have a cokehead who's once again unreliable, and everyone was just saying, I can't wait until he comes back. Who's probably going to go to heavyweight anyway, and God bless him, we need a good heavyweight in MMA. And then you have the champion, Daniel Cormier. He's a badass. But that's four good fighters, and old guys like Rashad and Shogun. And the heavyweight division, you have nothing. You have Stipe Miocic, who at best is a guy who might have the belt for one defense and then, you know, might lose it. He's not like the next Fedor or anything. You have a Cain Velasquez who walks around with my grandma's walker. You have Werdum, who's 45 years old and, you know, only wants to fight a Mexican fighter. And then you have Overeem, who's not even signed with the UFC and is off steroids and looks like he's 215 pounds. That is your heavyweight division. And sprinkle in a Josh Barnett with his belly, Roy Nelson with his bigger belly, and Andre Arlovsky that can string together three wins because he's fighting former football players like Brendan Schaub who have fucked up haircuts. It's the worst division since we've had Tim Sylvia as champion, and it's an embarrassment. A pure-ass embarrassment. The UFC, what happened to going out and stealing talent? Why is it Minnikov in the UFC when he's fighting on UFC Fight Pass right now? Tour doesn't even have visas to get him to come fight. I mean, come on. This is embarrassing. And the fact is, Andrew, let me throw this in there. Josh Barnett said that he would fight in the main event against Stipe Miocic. That might not be the most, you know, I'm going to order this pay-per-view main event. But it would have been a badass fight, and you could do an interim title. And Stipe might become your interim champion. And then everyone, you know, it saves the day. But UFC is so afraid of upsetting Fox that Fox told them, we don't want to lose our co-main event for this weekend, which is fucking Josh Barnett versus Ben Rothwell.
Oh.
That was more important than saving a pay-per-view. And then they put the old pay-per-view on Fox Sports 1. So the UFC showed us all that they are Fox's bitch. That is what the UFC is now. Look at the Fox cards compared to most of the pay-per-views. They're more stacked. The UFC is now Fox's bitch, ladies and gentlemen. They couldn't even take a fighter off to save a pay-per-view. And that is the state of the UFC's heavyweight division and the UFC's mindset right now. They don't care about you. They don't care about the fans. All they care about is getting their Conor McGregor big money pay-per-view, their Ronda Rousey big money pay-per-view, and then Fox and Reebok give them some bullshit money. The UFC fucked us all over, but hell, they're giving us formerly UFC 196 on free TV now, so I guess you get to see Johnny Hendricks and Steven Thompson in a main event on some random fight card now.
Wonder Bread is still fighting?
Yeah, that card is now a fight night.
Ryan, first of all, I do have to say, that was just an epic rant. You hit every nail on the head 1,000%. And what a rant. And honestly, that's something Dana needs to hear. Like, really, what the fuck is going on? All caps, WTF. just what you named, Ryan, it's so true. I feel like besides Conor McGregor, MMA, the UFC's roster in general is packed with expiration date. It's stale. It's like some soggy cereal, some freezer-burned waffles. It's just, Ryan, I feel like this is the same list of fighters since, like, 2013. You know, and at this point, it is absurd. I mean, the most excitement and buzz the heavyweight division has gotten in the last couple of years has been Andrei Arlovsky's 3-fight winning streak. I mean,
Minnikov, who's a Bellator.
I was going to say, and then, you know, to even further it, talking about the lightweight, which was once perceived as the most stacked division in the UFC, you have the same top fighters that you've had forever. No one really took that next step, that next class. You know what I mean? They all kind of plateaued out. Gilbert Melendez was never as good as we thought he was going to be. Eddie Alvarez wins a couple, loses a couple, is average, not spectacular. Anthony Pettis got demolished, and I feel like he lost a lot. And Ryan, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't he lose his last fight too?
Yeah, Alvarez beat him.
Yeah, he lost to Alvarez, and then Donald Cerrone can't win a damn title fight. His badass allure is completely gone. He got beat so bad by RDA, he had to cut to 145. And Lord knows he's not going to want to fight now. Oh, he went up to 170.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus Christ, good luck, freaking Cowboy.
Yeah.
You think you're going to beat freaking...
Good luck, Cowboy.
Yeah, that's not happening.
He's going to have brain damage by the time his career is over.
And then Ryan, out of nowhere, you really throw back. Somehow, freaking Dominic Cruz comes back and wins the title.
Hey,
a Dominic, good fight. I like Dominic a lot. But, you know, coming back, and I love listening to him talk and break stuff down, Ryan. But this is so stale.
He's got the gift of gab.
He does, Ryan. You know, he's injured his back a lot. I do have a theory. The reason why he can talk so well is because he's always on some pain meds. But that is just a theory, Ryan. But all in all, at this point, Ryan, I would like to see the UFC cut half of their roster and just go sign a bunch of random people I haven't ever seen fight before.
Yeah.
I don't want to see any of these, like, Khabib, he was supposed to come in. He can never stay hurt. And, Ryan, I'm with you. Why didn't they make an interim title fight? I wanted Stipe, and then if Overeem could fight and push it back, and they can fight for the interim title. I noticed Overeem had just fought. But, I mean, if you're throwing the belt in his face, I don't know if what's-his-name as a coach might be. Come on, Alistair, we got to think about this calm voice. But, I mean, I really am disgusted, Ryan. And we've been talking about this damn freaking roster since 2014, 2015. I'm disgusted, dude.
Let me throw this in there. Everyone wants to hate on Bellator. Oh, they're having Ken Shamrock fight. They're having Kimbo fight. Well, guess what? They're going to get a shitload of ratings. But guess
That's
what
exciting.
Bellator also has? Not only do they have excitement, but they just went out and signed a free agent that chose Bellator over the UFC. I forget her name. She's a hot little Russian who's going to be a star, who was a Muay Thai champion at 125. For their new women's division, they have Liam McGarry, a young, in his 20s, 6'5" champion. He might lose to Phil Davis, but that is a prospect, a new face. They have Ill Will in lightweight, a new prospect. Michael Chandler, a younger prospect, hasn't fought everybody. They have Dantes. They have guys at bantamweight that are coming in. Bubba Jenkins. They have, obviously King Mo, who can make noise in the UFC, and the UFC still can't sign. Tyrone Spong's out there in World Series of Fighting. Why aren't they going after him? You got, Justin Gaethje, 16-0 in World Series of Fighting at lightweight, and a complete badass. Joe Schilling, the best kickboxer in America, who has now quit kickboxing to fight in Bellator full time. Guys like Melvin Man Hoop, that would just be exciting for the UFC, a new face to, you know, to throw into the UFC. I know that, you know, 185 has Yoel Romero and Jacare and Vitor, but it's the same guys over and over. Throw some excitement in there, and at least Bellator does that. They just signed Raymond Daniels, who is one of the best karate champions. They have Michael Venom Page, who is the new Anderson Silva, only like 24 years old. You know, they went out and signed Kevin Ross, featherweight champion for Muay Thai for the last 5 or 6 years. They're bringing excitement and putting exciting together, at least, and bringing
and
a young, fresh face.
Trying to get Wanderlei?
They're about to get Wanderlei. They could get Fedor. They also went out and signed Pinka, who's trying to be an Olympian, but he's a Golden Gloves boxing champion, only 20 years old. He's a Golden Gloves boxing champion, a 4-time American and world wrestling champion, and they also signed Ruth, who is John Jones' main sparring partner, and John Jones said throws him around in the gym at 205 and is also trying to be an Olympic wrestling champion. Then they went out and signed the top amateur wrestler also coming in their heavyweight division. Those are all huge prospects, and guess why they are signing with Bellator? Because the UFC is finding Nate Diaz, who only makes $20,000 a fight, when Michael Chandler made $5,000 in his last fight. Nate Diaz got fined $10,000 for not wearing Reebok shorts to the goddamn weigh-in when he is known for wearing jeans, and that's why his fans love him. He wears jeans and combat boots. He's known for wearing that at the weigh-in. And they freaking fined him when he's only making $20,000 a fight, $10,000? Would you want to fight in the UFC with that kind of bullshit going on?
Ryan, I would not. It's terrible, Ryan. What's got me even sicker is I was just looking at this UFC card. Oh, my God, it's bad. One thing I wanted to, you know, call the UFC for, something me and Ryan have been talking about a while, and this is how you get freshness and entertainment. For your prelim cards, I feel like every month, every couple months, maybe after 3 or 4 cards, you put your best prelims and your best undercards on the Saturday night fight. You replay them and you do a little profiles on the fighters. You replay the best exciting wars and top prospects and try and build these guys a name. Ryan, I'm about to tell you the fights on these cards because, you know, it is tomorrow, and this is ridiculous. All right, so first, we got the youngin', the only guy that the UFC ever seems, the only youngster that they seem to be hyping up, which is, you know, no one else than
Ken Barbie doll.
Yeah, that was great. Sage Northcutt, a.k.a. Ken, I love it. We have just donned him a new nickname. I love it. So we have freaking Ken against Brian Barbarenna.
They got that guy outside the UFC building looking for a change.
Yeah, I mean, they just want to get stage wins. He's 1-1 in the UFC, 10-3. I am a little bit interested to see Sage fight a little bit just because of his build up, but that's why not, Ryan? You know, this is his third UFC fight.
Hey, if the UFC wants interest out of Sage Northcutt, put him against Nate Diaz so we can see Nate Diaz throw the middle finger in his face and Sage Northcutt saying, "Nate, I think you need to find God, man. I think you need..." And then Nate Diaz saying, "Fuck you, little pretty boy motherfucker." That's what I want to see. Fuck all this build-up.
Right.
Build him up that way.
It's time, right? And then, okay, the next fight, bantamweight fight. Some guy I can't even pronounce. Yuri Alicarta against Jimmy Rivera.
At least their new name.
Jimmy Rivera.
In the UFC 10 years, but we don't know about him.
Well, Jimmy Rivera, he is 2-0 in the UFC. You know, he was 16-18-1 fighting in undercard.
Hey, Andrew, we got profiles of these guys. Maybe we would know him.
Right? We don't know much about this. Ryan, I was just reading. I didn't even know Jimmy had an 89-second knockout of Marcus Brimage.
That could be on the Ultimate Knockouts. Oh, wait, Fox Sports won't even put that on their, they put motocross over the UFC. Oh, never mind.
Show some BMX bikes. Get the hell out of here. And then, of course, the barn burner, Josh Barnett against Ben Rothwell. I mean, in theory, an interesting fight, you know, will be, I mean, I'll watch it, but, I mean, Ryan, here we are again with some soggy cereal, some freezer-burned food, some, you know.
The ISO champ from 2006 going against a 45-year-old that can fight. I love Josh Barnett, but we're going to see a lot of fat and a lot of sloppy takedowns, and it could end up being a slop fest or somebody's going to get knocked out. That's pretty much what we always get from the UFC sloppy heavyweight division.
I love it, Ryan, the slop fest. I think we're naming this card the slop fest.
Put two big pigs in there and let them fight. That's kind of what this is.
I'd rather watch a tarantula tangle with a scorpion than some of these fights. I'd rather watch two Pokemon battle.
Yeah. Matter of fact, if somebody had a snake in the room while this UFC card was on, other than Johnson Bader, because, you know, I think it's going to be a really nasty knockout. But other than that, if somebody put a, like a rat or whatever they feed snakes into the snake's den right in front of you and the UFC card was on TV, don't tell me you wouldn't want to see that rat get eaten over the UFC.
Ryan, I would
don't
rather
tell
watch
me would not take
video
your
buffer.
Over it.
I would rather watch an internet video buffer than some of these fights on the card, Ryan. I'd rather watch something buffer on a slow internet connection and be all grainy and pixely. I mean, I'd rather clip my toenails than watch some of this shit. And then, of course, the final fight, we got Rumble against Ryan Bader.
This fight isn't terrible. It's terrible that, you know, this is the number one contender fight, and these are the best two, the once most dominant, scariest, most badass, bona fide division in the UFC has been reduced to this. I would rather see Rich Franklin back in there than this shit. Let me get Rumble Rich, even though Rich might get killed.
That's what Ryan Bader is now, the new Rich Franklin.
He is.
Pretty much.
He really
put him in there to knock someone out or get knocked out.
Now, Ryan, question about this fight. Are we going to see one of these fighters, I don't want to say their career end, because the UFC obviously needs to, you know, keep both of them, because their current stance is it's just terrible that Ryan Bader can be your fourth best or in the top five for a light heavyweight is just ridiculous. I mean, the ultimate gatekeeper. But, Ryan, is this going to be the end of one of these fighters, you know, pretty much shot at glory and relevance as far as making a run and being respected and maybe getting a championship shot? Is whoever loses this fight, are they pretty much done? Or, you know, with how freaking weak the division is, hey, one of these guys can lose this, win two other ones, and the next thing they know, they're in the ship.
I'm thinking about it, and it's pretty funny. This is how weak the UFC's divisions are. I know Ryan Bader's on like a 5-fight win streak, but really the only fight that mattered was he beat an old Rashad Evans that clearly doesn't want to fight anymore. Who hadn't fought in 2 years and really needs to cut to 185. I've been saying it forever. But Ryan Bader, if you remember, was on free TV like 8 years ago against a man named John Jones, and it was not a number one contendership. I guess it kind of was. It was like the guy who wins this fight is the new superstar. And now 8 years later, we have Ryan Bader cycled back into that position. Oh, he's going to be a superstar. I'm sorry, but you can't hype up a Ryan Bader
8 years ago
that I've seen get flattened more times than, I don't even know a good metaphor for it, but I've seen this guy get knocked out like 10 times. So, Andrew, to answer that question, I got to say, Ryan Bader, if he goes out there, you know, if he puts up a spirited performance All, you know, it's all good. Good job, Ryan Bader. What I really want out of these guys is I want a war. That's all I want. But if Ryan Bader goes out there and gets beat, I never want to see his name even close to a light heavyweight shot. It shouldn't even be in there anyway. I mean, think about it. Ryan Bader versus Jon Jones or Daniel Cormier. How bad of a pay-per-view main event, or how bad of a beatdown would that
be?
Event.
I don't think that would be a main event.
It would be so bad. And think about it. There's a chance that could happen because Rumble Johnson is a guy. He has scary power. And anytime Rumble fights, especially now at 205, I want to watch him fight because he can knock someone's block out in a second.
Yeah.
But like Ryan Bader has been saying to the build-up of this fight, he crumbles if you can take his power. He did it against DC. He's done it his whole career. If he can't knock somebody out, he usually does not win the fight. And really, in all reality, Ryan Bader could come out and use his wrestling and, you know, somehow survive the first two rounds, and he could end up winning this fight and being the number one contender. I think Rumble's going to knock his block off, but if it doesn't happen, I don't have that much faith in the fourth and fifth round for Rumble Johnson. And, you know, I really think to really answer your question, I know it's a long-term answer, but yeah, either of these guys, if they lose, I don't see how you build them back up into a title contender. I don't see how you sell fans on the stuff. Unless, like, Rumble can knock out, like, Jon Jones in some weird comeback fight or, you know, it goes on, like, a 10-fight win streak. I don't see how either of these guys can be built up as number one contenders again. In all reality, we have a fat 170-pounder with huge knockout power going against a guy who has the chin of my grandma Kathy.
All right. Get him. No, Ryan, about 7 minutes left on the show, 6 minutes left. I have one last question for you pertaining to this fight. Even if Rumble wins, so they're going to book, you know, who knows what happens with Jon Jones, because you got to think by the time it rolls around, you know, Jon Jones might, I thought he was back. I don't know what the hell happened to him. He got back and he ran off and disappeared doing some Jon Jones stuff.
I'm telling you, it's that
weird
steroid scandal. He's cycling off of that shit.
But, Ryan, so say Rumble wins and he's the number one contender, and then they have to book like DC against Rumble 2, are you even intrigued, title shot? How intrigued are you in it? And do you think that's fair to DC that, boom, he has to turn around and fight Rumble right again?
You know what, I got to say, if it's Ryan Bader, I have no interest. But if it's Rumble, like I said, first off, it cannot be a paper. It has to be either a co-main event to one of your bigger stars, or you're putting that shit on Fox again. Because, you know, like I said, if it's Rumble, he rocked DC in that last fight. You know, that's what you can promote it around. Oh, you know, he crumbled, but he rocked him. At least we can have that, oh, maybe Rumble can knock him out. But in all reality, it's kind of sad that, you know, that's what we're coming to in the division that used to be so big. And it would be one thing if it was a while down the line, like Rumble beat five people nasty and, you know, he... Yeah, like, this is right away, pretty much. I think that was Daniel Cormier's last fight was Rumble. It might have been Gustafson. But, you know, it's just so quick. And it's fair to DC because that's the world we live in and that's the division he has to work with. The UFC really needs to do some soul-searching here. And, you know, Rumble's an exciting guy. I don't want to hate on him too much. But I don't think he's ever going to a title a champion because he's proved in the past he doesn't have the dedication. You know, he gets fat. That's what he does. He fights, he tries to knock someone out, and he gets fat. I don't think he has that title champion in him.
Ryan, I agree 1,000% with everything you've just said. And I believe that this is Rumble's might be, I'm not 100% sure, but this might be his first fight since his last loss to DC. So it's just kind of crazy to think, you know, that the guy can turn around that fast. Last question real quick. I have about 4 minutes left on the show. Why can't any of these light heavyweights that we see come in develop? The Patrick Cummings, the Jimmy Manuas, you know, those are just two names, probably the only two some young hyped up prospects I can think of. Even the Gustafsons, you know, you let Phil Davis go. Granted, I mean, you live with it, but looking how bad this division has played out, you pass on King Mo. Why can't any of these younger fighters develop?
I think because the division is so shallow that, unlike a Sage Northcutt, you know, lightweight, at least you do have, like, 8 decent fighters.
Ryan Rabari or whoever the fuck he's fighting.
These light heavyweights, like Jimmy Manua was fighting, I think it was Daniel Cormier or Gustafson in like his
That's
second
dope.
Fight. They're getting thrown in the top 4, top 5 type fights because there's no other fights out there for the top guys because, you know, the top guys, there's only like 3 of them. So basically these guys are getting thrown in there when they can't have the top guys fight each other. So there's no time to really build them up. And honestly, a lot of the top 205 pounders, Leon McGarry, there's a guy named Puetz. I know it's a weird name, but he's 6'5". He's from Poland. He's a champion in KSW. The champion in M1 is a badass. Even a guy like Brandon Vera, who's knocked 2 people's teeth out and 1 FC.
And what about Forrest Whitaker?
Yeah, it sold out the Philippines for 10,000 people. Could be thrown back into the UFC and, you know, oh, let's see this guy fight again. I mean, there's so much good talent out there that UFC is just not bringing in. And the guys they are bringing in are either bad choices or they're getting rushed into the big names too fast. And I think the UFC is concentrating too much on having guys like Lloyd and Machida and, you know, Dan Henderson, having those guys fight too much, and they're paying them too much money.
1 minute warning.
In fear of letting these guys go and having Bellator get them, and that's what they're fearing, instead of saying, you know what, fuck it, bring in new talent. And really, they're relying on the Ultimate Fighter still. When the talent sees guys like Conor McGregor and they say, I'm not going to go live in a house for that long, fuck that. And really, the Ultimate Fighter has stopped giving us top prospects like Rashad Evans and Forrest Griffin. That is what the problem is with the UFC.
Oh, man, and Ryan broke that down better than Snoop breaks down some good weed to roll a blunt.
Yes, sir.
Really,
and I got the Broncos losing in the Super Bowl.
Go Panthers. At BK Show, Andrew
Go
M.
Panthers.
Go Panthers. Peyton. Oh, God. You know, Ryan, it's kind of funny. Peyton Manning plays like the Peyton Manning who had cable in that DirecTV commercial. I mean,